Attention, all jeans. Attention, all jeans. June 6th, Tina and I will be at the Ice House doing a live episode of Your Mom's House. That is Saturday, June 6th, 7:30 p.m. We're at Stage 2. That's the smaller room, so make sure you get your tickets now. There's limited seating there. It's going to be a fun show. June 6th, icehousecomedy.com, and we'll see you then. Yep.
That's exciting. I can't wait for the Ice House.
It's going to be awesome.
I like these live shows. They're so much fun.
So, especially at that place. That place is amazing.
Yep. I just ate an orange. My whole face is all licky.
Check it out. I have some really awesome shows coming up. I'm excited about June 11th in Fartniks, Phoenix, Arizona. Stand up live. One show only. The next day, June 12th, I am in Las Vegas at Bonkers, downtown Las Vegas. And the next day, June 13th, two shows in Calgary at the Laugh Shop. Moving it along, a few weeks later, Christine and I will be together at the Byam Theater for the DVE Comedy Festival in Pittsburgh. Get your tickets now. Here's the lineup. Bill Crawford, who's on the show there, DVE, he's fantastic. Christina, myself, Michael Che from SNL, and the great Jim Norton. So that's the lineup.
Killer.
The DVE Comedy Festival, Friday, June 26th.
What's that guy you said, Tom Segura?
Yeah, Segura. Yeah, with a Q. From there, on the 27th, I go to Chicago to do a show at Park West. Very excited about that. And finally, the last show of the month for me, June 28th in Pontiac, Michigan at the Crowfoot. Crowfoot. All tickets at tomsegura.com. So check those out. Please come and see me. Anything else, Jeans?
June 18th through 21st, I am at the Denver Improv. That's June 18th, June 19th,
what
June
about
20th,
the 20th? Oh, the 20th also.
21st.
Okay.
I'm at the Denver Improv. So come see your mom there.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I like Denver.
All right. That's great.
I'm going to eat some donuts there.
In Denver you are?
Yeah, and they have waffles and stuff. I like to eat that.
You're saying it kind of like it's the only city that has that.
It is.
Is that what you mean?
It is. That's what they're known for, you famous Denver. Do you hear that sound?
Yeah, what is that?
It's our dog chewing on the desk. Literally chewing on the desk.
That might be your phone, too. Maybe.
I like, it's okay. She's got tiny little tic-tac baby teeth.
I was thinking more of like this part,
I
you
know. I was going to pull her.
We have some good stories about getting this little rascal. But first, to the business. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Stamps.com. You do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can get in the way. With Stamps.com, you'll be able to spend less time at the post office and more time growing your business. We could tell you right away that is true, and there's no better thing to be doing than not being at the post office.
I can think of a million other things I'd rather do than be at the post office.
Yes, I mean, the post office
dentist.
Is absolutely...
That's your job. That's your job, sweetie. That's your job. Do your job.
There's the post office
for
you.
That's the post office.
Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com does all of the thinking for you. With the digital scale, it will calculate the exact postage needed, helps you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. You can join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I think I'm using Stamps.com. That's who I am, okay? So I don't have to listen to you, sir, lose your mind at the post office.
Sweetie.
So listen, we use Stamps.com. We love it. We've used it for years. Every time you order something from us on our show, It gets delivered to you, and the postage is printed from stamps.com. Right now, use our promo code MOM for this special offer. No risk is involved. Involved a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in M-O-M. That's stamps.com. Enter M-O-M. Hey, post office.
Goodbye to you.
Great work, Tom.
Thank you.
This next announcement is for the ladies listening, okay? And
uh-oh.
Friends of
hey,
ladies,
girls.
But specifically ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why does it feel like most underwear is designed for like one woman who isn't you? It never fits right, right? You buy these pants, they never fit right. The material, it's like polyester, it rubs you the wrong way. The thing is, you're not one size fits all, right? As people. So there are so many different versions of you. There's the lazy weekend you, the working up a sweat you, the third date you, the feeling sexy you. And because they know and love all sides of you, MeUndies has created the All of Me collection for all of you. A whole new MeUndies line that celebrates you and all your multitasking, gorgeous glory. It's made of the most breathable, barely there, all-natural, modal fabric in four distinct styles that'll fit whichever you feel like being. It's two times as soft as cotton. They mailed me my first pair, and they're tremendous. I mean, we've been huge fans of MeUndies, but they're so soft. I mean, it's like pulling butter up over your special places.
Yeah,
it's
that
really
feels nice.
Fantastically soft.
I'd like some butter there.
So you have to try these guys, I'm sorry, gals. Right now, when you go to MeUndies.com/mom, you'll get 20% off your first order of thongs, bikinis, boy shorts, or cheeky briefs from the All of Me collection, plus free shipping. And I guarantee you will love them. If you don't, you'll get your money back, and you keep the first pair you tried on. The MeUndies guarantee is the best return policy you'll ever use. That's 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/mom. Mm. There you go. What do you
Dude,
like?
MeUndies is taking over.
It's
the game.
Best. Do you like
They're
thongs?
Shutting it down.
Bikini
like,
boy shorts or cheeky briefs?
I am a big fan of the boy shorts on the ladies.
Yeah,
I like
me too.
That look.
Me too. I like the cheeky briefs too. I like them all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're all. You
yeah.
Know. Hey, look.
You know what I mean?
I'm not going to get mad at you for wearing a different
wear. Oh boy. Yeah. Also, if you do use Amazon, I hope you bookmark our banner. And what that means is go to your momshousepodcast.com, click on our little banner on the homepage, and do your shopping as you normally would on Amazon. Just bookmark it. It's way easier than like remembering to go to our website. That is if you want to support the show, and I sure hope you do.
Yeah, and there's a Canadian one for the Canadian moms too.
Canadian.
If you live in Canada, they have that also. And we should mention, I think we mentioned it last week, but we are coming to Montreal for the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in July. Those tickets are definitely on my site. I don't know if they're on the podcast site, but we're doing a live podcast there. I believe it's the 23rd of July, and then we both have stand-up shows. So make sure if you're in Montreal in July, you're going to Just for Laughs, you come and see us as well.
Jeans,
this episode is gonna be crazy.
I don't think you guys listening are even ready for what happened.
I don't think you know what's about to happen to you. But all I can tell you is mommy power is real.
It's real. Get your Cuban jeans on for this episode.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Put your conga jeans on, guys. You
so
like
fun.
That, huh?
I like that a lot. That really made me laugh. All right. Let's start the show. James, ready?
Okay. I'm so ready.
Let's go.
Been excited for this one.
Spread your legs wider. I'll show it to me. Can't you fucking look at me? Mommy. Oh, mommy. Mommy.
Mommy loves you.
Baby wants to fuck. Get ready to fuck! You fuckers, fucker! You fucker! Don't you fucking look at me! This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura. And
Christina Pajitsin.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Yeah.
I recognize that.
How did you recognize that?
That was from my prom night.
You want more volume?
Yeah, now I can't hear
now
what
you're
I'm
being
saying.
A nerd
I'm being
again?
Deaf. Yeah, that's good.
That's good? Okay.
Yeah, everybody knows that's Blue Velvet. Duh.
Mommy, baby wants to fuck.
I'm surprised we haven't done that one before.
Yep.
It's kind of long overdue.
I didn't know it.
Blue Velvet.
Mm-mm.
It's, cult classic. That and like Eraserhead and...
What's the premise of Blue Velvet? What goes on?
Fuck if I remember. Just a bunch of weird shit. Like,
better be careful. If you say this, we're going to get some froggy fresh emails.
I know.
How do you not fucking know?
It's the same weirdo that did Twin Peaks and all that.
David Lynch.
Yeah.
Okay.
David Lynch, so it's super weird.
Oh, actually, once you say it's David Lynch, you don't have to give me the
premise.
Yeah,
it's one
There's
of those
no
things.
No normal premise in any film of his, but that's fine. I still enjoy them.
Yeah, the thing is with David Lynch films, I feel like they're more real than anything else.
How do you think he pitches
films?
They're
so weird. I don't know. He's like...
At this point, he's just like, look, it's me. And they're like, all right. But
so
I mean,
weird.
Back then, you think he was like, so then... And then they're like, well, now we're in the second act, but we're not picking up any of the story from the first act.
Yeah.
He's like, no, well, there's being a...
Well, there's a lady that holds a log, and then there's a murder in the beginning
you
of the
series.
You
see a fireball in her vagina, and then
this
guy inhales this mask, and then has to fuck mommy again. All right, I mean, we'll give you a few million to make it. I don't know if we're going to release it wide or... All right.
No, never. You know what I heard? That he came into prominence... He did that movie Eraserhead, and it was a flop. Like, people didn't initially go to watch it, but this, like, art movie house kept playing it over and over, like, insisting on playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And with anything, like, on television, the repetition of it,
dude.
Just like SpongeBob SquarePants initially wasn't a huge success, but the network insisted on airing it over and over and over.
And then, yeah. Well, that's why the death of any television show is when they, well, obviously they don't air it, but when they start moving the time around a lot, like when they want to get rid of a show, it's like Tuesdays at 8, I mean Thursday at 9. It's we moved it to Mondays at 6:30. So you can't find the show. That's the death of the show.
Well, that's what we learned doing this podcast, even, is that you have to keep it consistent when you drop them, at least keep it on the same day.
Yeah. Because
people do not. It's hard to find the show once you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't find anything anymore.
Where am I? I'm old.
So here's what happened this weekend. we went
Chaos.
And we got a new little pup.
A P.U. Uppy.
It's basically, the motivation was, yes, we love P.U. Uppies, but we also wanted to get a buddy for the Fifinator. Like, he's, you know, he's the best dog in the world. We adore him, but we feel like he needs a buddy. So we got this little same breed, Brussels, from Championship Line Breeder. Even though we love the rescue experience, we just wanted to do this once. So
we wanted to do it from scratch.
Yeah, we just wanted to try it, man.
Because our son has such a bad attitude. I mean, Fief has the worst and it's like, what happened to him? Well, what happened in your childhood and your puppyhood that was so bad?
Well, he's from the streets.
Yeah.
And he's been through it all.
I know.
And So anyways, we wanted to get this hardcore motherfucker a friend, right? Maybe to soften him up a little.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always pulling out cigarettes and switchblades. It's like, Jesus, dude. How about some fucking cuddles or something, you know?
Yeah.
I've never pet him. 2 years, I've never pet him.
I know.
So anyways, we find these people. We go up north and pick up the dog. We go into their home on Sunday morning, pick up the dog. It's like 5 hours from here. On our drive back, we are hitting Kern County, which is north of
nowhere,
Bakersfield.
Oh.
Which you can look that up if you're not a California resident. And
well, hold on. First, may I say the breeder that we picked the dog up from
yeah.
was amazing. They yeah. offered us alcohol at the middle of the day.
Yeah,
noon.
Like noon.
And
insisted on alcohol
yeah,
a few
which
times.
Is so rad. And then they're one of those people, like, they're full Brussels people. Like, you know when someone collects, like, frogs? Everything in
yeah.
the house is frogs. Like, they had portraits painted of them and their Brussels zinger. Zinger's the original sperm
yes.
donor of all these Brussels. He's, like, an award-winning dog
yes,
zinger.
He won, like, a...
Zinger's World.
Yeah, Zinger won a, what's it called? The, like, a Best in Show
Yeah,
thing.
Best yep. in Show mm-hmm. for the Brussels Griffon. Category
mm-hmm.
in the 90s. So everything's an homage to Zinger in this woman's house, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And Elvis. A lot of Elvis plates everywhere. A lot of collecting happening.
Yeah, pretty out of control. So we walk in. There's a ginormous portrait of her,
right.
her husband, and those dogs. Then you see a Brussels run up. Then there's kind of like tchotchke shop Brussels, paintings, posters,
Brussels
statues.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Then we go through a door. There's like a couple of Brussels running around.
Oh, so cute.
Then we are shown the pen where our doggy is with a couple of others. And then when we left, like I thought that was all. We left. We're pulling our car around their property.
Yeah.
And there was another pen of like all these Brussels outside.
I know. And she was beating the shit out of them.
And she was like stabbing them.
No. You shut the fuck up.
No, she was.
No. She was the nicest
she's
lady.
She's the nicest lady.
They're the sweetest people.
Yeah, they're just
total
like,
dog people.
They're dog people, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, when we're heading back to
yes.
to LA, we stop at a gas station. Christina gets out to put
number 1.
To go number 1. I get out to put gas in the cart. Now, because we had taken turns driving on this, a lot of times like if let's say we stop somewhere and I go I'm going to go buy a bottle of water in here. And normally I would have the keys in my pocket. I would take them out so that when I walk, because it's a keyless car, I would take them so that the car doesn't beep, right? It's like a just, oh, so you don't have to hear that. So I drop them in the console. So in this case, we stopped. We had the new doggy in a crate, and we had Fief just in the car, sitting there. You go number 1. I get out of the car. I'm putting gas in the car. I hear the doors lock. And my head snaps around, and Fief has both of his paws up on the door sill, and he's looking at me like, hi. And he had just stepped on the lock the door thing with the keys in the car. A scenario that never played out as a possibility.
No. In a million years, the dog would lock the car.
It takes me a few seconds to realize what's going on. Like, I don't even, I'm not even processing. Then I go, like, I thought it was so automatic. I'm trying to get him to step on the button again, the unlock button, and he's literally dancing around it. Like his paws are going right over the one I want him to press, and I'm like, motherfucker. So you come out, and I go, I tell you what happened. You're fucking. I can see your heart drop, like your face.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's dogs locked in the car. The windows aren't cracked. They're gonna die.
Now, luckily for us, it was like 70. It wasn't hot at all.
No.
But
and the sun
still,
wasn't out. The clouds were covering.
But the car's all shut. So,
oh my god!
I go, all right, I'll call AAA. I get AAA on the phone. I tell them all I'm from. They're like, oh, you didn't continue your AAA plan. Like you discontinued it.
Mm.
And I go, well, can I pay to like reinstate
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'll give you the $50, asshole.
Yeah, and they go, yeah, absolutely.
Jesus.
And they go, let us connect you to the local company, the tow company, that will pop it open for you. Great. So they connect me and they go, hey, and I go, I explain the situation. I said, well, how long till you get here? And they go, like 45 minutes at least. And I go, 45 minutes? Yeah. And I go, no, I'm not doing that. And I just hang up because I'm not, in my mind, it's still, even though we're not like in a grave emergency, I think 45 minutes is too long.
It's too long. And I got to say, like, the windows were rolled up in the car. And even though the sun wasn't beating down, it was still sunny. Like, it was still light out. It was still warm out. Yeah. It wasn't hot blazing. But I was like, dude, my dogs are locked in a car right now.
And they're little
dogs.
Like,
and one's a puppy. I'm fucking losing my mind as a dog mom.
So then we go and...
I hate that.
A guy from... who works at the gas station, you tell him what's up.
Well, here's what I do. So I go in to the cashier, and the guy behind the register is like a gangbanger, like a total gangbanger.
All tatted up. Yeah.
Totally. Like the clips we've been playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's he's like a homie. You know what I mean? Fucking homie. And I go, hey, my dogs are locked in the car. What do you do? Have you ever helped anybody out? And he goes, well, I could break into it for you. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's go.
Let's go, dude.
And he goes, what I need my supervisor to be behind the register, though. And I go, where is she? She's outside. So I frantically walk up to this person who is smoking a cigarette and appears to be about 7 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean it. Like, I'm pretty sure she was pregnant and smoking. And she's on the phone. And I'm like, excuse me,
I
ma'am.
Feel, by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off. Don't you think that's the last... judgment on someone that you're like, you know, it's always like, don't judge people, but that's when you're free to like completely tear down that human being.
Well, it's craziness. Like, why are you, that's like, the one thing besides alcohol they tell you, those are the biggies.
Yeah.
It can harm a baby. Could you not?
But the smoking one, there's like, you're a real fucking turd.
You're an
to
animal.
Smoke. Yeah.
You're an animal. So of course I ask her, I explain it to her and she's on the phone. She goes, I'm on my break. And I'm like, uh-huh. I go, yeah, I know that, but, you know, we've got these dogs. And is there any way you could just watch the register and continue your break at a later moment? So she reluctantly, she gets mad, and she's like, I got to call you back. And then...
Yeah, like, I'm making a huge sacrifice
to be
to
a fucking human being right now. So anyway, the thug goes to his car and then comes, like, running up to our car. And he's doing that, like, prison... cholo walk.
It's like
it's walk kinda, run.
Yeah, it's a I'm walking fast, but I don't want it to look fast.
It's like I'm not allowed to run on the yard, so I'm gonna kind of walk run on the yard so that the guards don't catch me.
Yes.
So he comes up and he has like a chisel, and then hidden like in his, how would you say that, jeans? Like it's being held on his fingers with his palms down so that you can't
like
conceal it.
Yeah.
It's
so
concealed.
You can't see it as he walks.
The weapon, it's like another thing to jimmy open the window. So then, okay, you pick up the story now.
So he's like, he's walking over like he's going to smash the windows. And I just go, give it to me. I basically, I'm thinking is like, I'm actually like, you know, you shouldn't be the one to do this because it's my car, you know?
Yeah. He also gave us a hammer, which I didn't mention.
Right. So the hammer, I take it and I go like, all right, I'm just going to smash the window.
The back window. We'll just fucking smash it. I'm not going to wait for fucking anybody.
We'll drive with the window, with a blown out window.
Let's just go home.
Yeah.
Plus we're tired. Like we had driven a lot the day before. This is our way home.
Can't really stress that enough. Yeah. We're really over it.
Over it.
So... I'm like sizing up the window and there's a guy putting gas in his car, like at the other side of the same pump. Right. And he just looks over. He's like, we're like, we got our dogs in there. And I go, which window would you? But he goes, that's a nice car. I wouldn't do that. And I go, well, we got the dogs in there. And he was like, oh, like you should. I go, it's going to take them, you know, 45 minutes from AAA. And he goes, you know, what you should try to do is call 911 and see if they'll send the fire department. And I go, oh, it's worth a shot. And he goes, you don't want to smash your windows out.
Yeah, he said it all nice.
Yeah, and he goes, I really respect you guys. That. He goes, I respect you guys for even thinking like that. But you don't have to do that.
He goes, I'm an animal lover too.
Yeah. So I go, well, it's worth a shot. Call 911. I apologize immediately for... calling them, and I go, I realize this isn't a life-threatening emergency, but I got dogs in the car, and I explain the situation to them, and they're nice, and they transfer me to the fire department. Fire department says, like, look, if there's nothing, like, major going on right now, the firehouse is 2 miles from your gas station. So we'll call them, and if there's not a fire, we'll send them over. And I go, okay, so can you let me know? And he goes, no. I go, but you can't just tell me like yes or no. He goes, mm-mm. Like either they'll show up or they won't. I was like, great, maybe I should have called AAA again. Anyways, 5 minutes later, fire truck pulls up. Three guys get out. We show them what's going on, and they go, okay. So they start, they get their tools out. Now, the old school Slim Jim thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Those don't work on new cars. The mechanism is different. It doesn't, it doesn't just pop it up, because on the new cars, you can't even really pull. You know, it's all
there's no
automated.
Pull. Yeah.
So they try that. Doesn't work. Then they use these wedges to try to wedge the door open.
And then they puffed it full of air.
Nothing's working.
It doesn't work.
But then I remember that on top of the hammer, the thug had the, it's like it had a wooden grip and then a flat metal.
To break into cars.
Right, it's and it's really, it's heavy and strong. So I walk back in there because I could see them not making any progress. Mm. And I go, you got that tool still? And he goes, oh, they need a thug to do it. They need a thug to do it.
So rad.
I started laughing so hard.
Hey, we're still right here, homie. It's fucking morning. Fucking.
Yep.
We got the enemigos right there, homie.
Yep. There we go. He that guy it. Came to our rescue, dude.
He gets it for me. I run out to the car. I see them still not making progress. I go, let me do this. I jab it in the door. I push. The door opens.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
You had three firemen.
Yeah, and no progress.
And can I tell you, they were a little scrawny.
They were.
It took Oso power. Yeah. It took your bare power. I mean it. To like, you were like, rah! Like you ripped open that fucker. You were like, I'm doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I pushed it right open. The guy stuck in the little, you know, blue wire thing.
Yeah.
Pop. He grabs the handle from the inside. I thought they were going to press unlock with
the
it.
The way Fief did.
Yeah, he didn't know. He just grabbed the handle with it. The door opens. They couldn't have been nicer guys. We thanked them for doing what they did. And we left. That was such an emotional roller coaster.
Oh my God.
But really, of all, shout out to Homeboy.
Let me represent myself, homie. It's Creeper, homie, from the G-Dub 13 gang, homie. Son Valley gang, homie. It's fucking Winer from Westside Armenian Power gang, homie. Still Puro Sureños putting it right down, here, homie. In Middle East, homie, in Syria. Still gang banging, not giving a fuck, homie.
Yeah, that's what's up. But isn't it weird how that was in our... Like our show last week, we were just making fun of homies.
Yeah.
And then like a thug, like a homie helps us out.
Yeah.
It's called justice.
It was. We're like, dude, we need help. And he was like,
what's calculus?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a thug, homie.
He's like, ah, they need a thug to do it. They need a thug to do
so
it.
So funny, dude. Covered up in his gang tats, too. So fucking. My favorite was just watching him kind of roll up on us with that stuff hidden.
Yeah.
His hands. Yeah.
You know why? Because he's used to.
Yes.
He didn't have to hide that.
No.
He was helping us out.
He's used to hiding.
He's used to hide. he's used to not showing people that he has that in his hand. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a walk run, a yard fucking walk run. Oh, man.
So
what a day.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, we were over it. You know, and also when you're just not thinking clearly, you're just so tired and you're over it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just like fucking smash the windows, bro. Let's get the fuck out of here, man.
So, by the way, we last week. We played this absolutely what we deemed pretty bizarre video of a woman touching fabrics and whispering the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
And of course we have silk. And the number is 6. Mm-hmm. Beautiful red, fire red color. We have very light. Featherlight, like.
That's so awful.
Fabric.
God, I hate
number
this.
7.
This makes me more anxious now that I hear it again.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So after playing that, we got bombarded with emails.
Chastising us. How do you hack fucks not know that this is our ASM or
this
whatever?
Is ASMR. Fuck. Autonomous sensory meridian response. It's a neologism? Is that the right way to say that?
Neologism?
Neologism for a perceptual phenomenon characterized as a distinct pleasurable tingling sensation in the head, scalp, back, or peripheral regions of the body in response to visual, auditory, tactile, olfactory, or cognitive stimuli. So basically, to simplify that, there are people who, when they hear this type of whispering, they get a tingling sensation. Mm. It's like a pleasurable feeling. It's like a head-scratching tingling.
They like it.
From that whispering.
From that whispering.
The whispering does it to
them. There should be a podcast just for people that enjoy this very thing.
Yeah, they said that people describe the sensation as a brain massage, a head tingle, spine tingle, or brain orgasm.
Okay.
Whatever. A lot of people claim to have this, but there's not a lot of scientific verified data. Mm. They have different triggers that stimulate it. And a big one is the sound of whispering.
And the sound of whispering.
Hmm.
But what's with the fabric? So would the fabric has to do with it too? Or?
I think because that woman, you know, they said that like it could be something you touch also. So maybe it's the
she goes,
combination of the two. Some people say that this stuff relieves their insomnia or anxiety. Like they really love it.
Then I'm behind it. Anything that'll do that, God, go for it.
So they get like, they basically get goosebumps just hearing that woman talk about fucking fabrics. It's so bizarre to me.
Fabric 7.
Touching all the fabrics. It's really nice.
Trace along the lines.
it makes me a little anxious. I don't like how soft and slow it is. Is there something for whistling aversions? I hate whistling.
You and me?
Hate it.
That might be why we're married.
Really?
When I hear a fucking person whistle,
God.
Especially like, you know, I feel like it's really obnoxious when someone does it like waiting in line.
Yes.
You know, like you're at the bank.
Yes.
And someone,
yeah.
And you turn around, you're like, are you out of your fucking mind right now?
Well, it's like singing. It's basically no different than being like,
it really is.
Hello world, I'm here today. It's like announcing your presence. We're like, asshole, we get it.
It is a passive dominance.
It is.
Move.
Yes.
For sure.
It's like birds chirping. They're claiming their space.
Yeah. You're a real fucking asshole.
So asshole-y. Because it's not really pleasant for others to hear.
Well, you're forcing people to, like, it's a selfish move because you're saying, like, you have to hear me do this right now.
Yeah. You're forced to listen to your dumb whistle.
Yeah. Go whistle in your own fucking shower, you know?
Yeah. Close your windows and whistle in your own place, asshole.
Yeah. You fucking try me, fatso. You fucking try me.
Yeah, I hate public whistlers. Nothing makes me angrier. What do you hate more, horses or public whistlers?
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a fucking good one.
You can fucking try me, fatso.
I think whistlers.
Whistlers over horses?
Yeah, whistlers first.
Sorry, little one. I got to move her head away every time she lifts her head up.
We didn't even tell. So, like, you know, we said Bitsy is her name, but we're also actually entertaining one other. Well, I really was a fan of Mrs. Dr. Mister.
Yeah.
But it's just too much.
Yeah.
So the other one we're considering is
Tamar Braxton.
You better get your life. Girl, get your life.
Tamar.
Yep.
Because she's really kind of a hellion, and it's all about Tamar right now. Like, she's dominating this house. She's dominating Feef.
Very much dominating. She is running the show, and she's just doing it all.
She's a terrorist.
We are the Braxtons, and you'll see that we are not like an ordinary family.
So you think we can do that? You think we can stick with it?
That's the thing I haven't decided. Because if we got to commit now. It's now or never, really.
We spent an entire 48 hours with the
Bitsy
name.
It's so cutesy. I feel like we're not that cute.
Right. I know. I know. It's like
we ain't that cute.
It's like muffin or something.
Yeah. You know? Like we're not that. Are we those people? You know, we like it. We like it in theory, but I think in practice we're kind of harder. You know.
So just try Tamar. Tamar's pretty crazy.
You better get your life.
But I think it's funny to call your dog Tamar. I mean, nobody names their dog Tamar Braxton.
No.
It's really silly. We're like, Tamar, FIFO. You know?
He was Theo Huxtable. Look how he sleeps now. He is passed out. This little hellion jumps on his face, on his back, on his tail all day when he would be sleeping. So now any moment that she's not on him, he passes out immediately.
He can't even take a shit.
No, she jumps on him while he shits. Poor guy. I feel so bad for him.
Well, we're shielding him. We're slowly learning to separate them and give him some space.
Out.
I know. Poor little pfeffer. Poor guy.
This is pretty funny. Somebody sent this in and said, this is the original, you know what I'm saying? And it's Harold Letterman who does ringside judging for HBO boxing for the last fucking 40 years. Oh, it's a montage of his version of, you know what I'm saying, which is, I gotta tell ya.
Jim, I gotta tell you something. Jim, I gotta tell you something. I gotta tell you something, Jim. Jim, I gotta tell you. Jim, I gotta tell you something. But I say something. Jim, I tell you something. Jim, I tell you something. I gotta tell you something. Jim, I gotta tell you. Jim, I gotta tell you something. I gotta tell you, friend. You know, I gotta tell you guys something. Jim, I gotta tell you. Jim, I gotta tell you something. Bob, I gotta tell you. Bob, I gotta tell you. Jim, I gotta.
I mean, this. We're up to like 10, 12 fights already. This is. And it's 10, 15 seconds in. It's another minute and a half.
I gotta tell you, Jim.
I'm gonna vomit.
It's a lot.
I'm gonna vomit.
There's
please don't layer
so
it.
Many
when you
more.
Layer it, it's even better.
Don't layer it.
Jim, I gotta tell you something.
It's so good.
Harold Letterman.
Jim, you know what I'm saying?
Jim, you know what I'm saying? Jim, you know what I'm saying? Jim, you know what I'm saying? Jim, you know what I'm saying? Unbelievable.
I got it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, boy.
Other big news in Starbucks in Queens last week after we did the show, a manager served Maria, apparently, and lost her fucking mind. You know about this?
No way.
Yeah. I guess Maria was in New York, and this is the manager at Starbucks. That manager got fired after this.
Really?
Yeah, for talking to Maria like that.
Yeah, well, she does. She's the mayor of Starbucks.
Yeah, couldn't believe it. But yeah,
customer's always right, guys.
Apparently, this girl just like took one of the cookie straws or something, and this lady, I don't know, she lost her mind. I mean, she really flipped out. It's really crazy.
Yeah, she took one of the straws and
it was a widely reported story where this lady, I don't know how exactly, but now it says that she's suspended, and then she says she quit after the video. She flipped out. She was in the Elmhurst Starbucks location in Queens, New York. I'll pull up the story. Okay, so here is, so this is what prompted, I guess, this lady to flip out.
I don't want that. I just want the topping part. Like, you put whipped cream on as a topper. Yeah, if I ask for a lot more whipped cream, you're going to charge me for a fucking latte too?
Right.
Some more. You have to push the button for the whipped cream to come out. Now is that a latte? Because you had to push the fucking button that says steam milk, she decided, oh, it's a latte.
Mm.
And I know I don't work at Starbucks, but I think I frequent there enough to know.
You definitely frequent it enough to know.
Yeah, I do.
It's even more absurd now listening to Maria say that stuff now. Like at the time.
No, because when I told you, there she is.
So apparently, here's the story, at least from this first report about it. The woman, according to the description, she claims that she was trying to activate her Starbucks app on her phone in order to pay. She claims she did not hear the employees asking for her name to be put on her cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's believed that because Chen, the woman's name, didn't hear the baristas, it may have set the manager off. From there, the screaming match began. That was the basic thing. This article says it was she was fired. And then now there's this is the actual. Let's see. This is the, I guess, the woman talked to somebody. I want to hear what she said.
Yeah, me too.
She was like, suspended,
and then Maria came in,
and Maria ruined my life.
She's asking about caramel drizzle. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
I don't.
I just wanted to make a.
This employee is caught on camera losing it with a customer. While she's no longer employed by Starbucks, she is telling her side of the story to our McGee Hickey.
To what?
This is the angry rant from an Elmhurst, Queens Starbucks employee that went viral.
No!
I mean, she really fucking goes overboard.
I have three beverages. If it's, I will. The morning before noon, it is a single bag venti with awake tea with 3 inches of steam soy and foam, 3 raw sugars, and then you add later 3 sponges and vanilla powder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
The video begins with the employee screaming at the customer, seemingly over a Frappuccino cookie straw. When the customer asks to speak to the manager, the employee continues to yell, saying she is the manager. The customer, Ruby Chen, wrote about the rant on her Facebook page, which was posted on the Pix 11 page and immediately got 750 shares with 250,000 reached and counting. The Starbucks district manager then offered the customer a $100 gift card.
Jeez.
It's like a ticking time bomb for me. So I've been disrespected by customers all the time.
This is not
the first time. I've had logs thrown at me.
The employee, who would only give her name as Melissa, says she quit and was not fired and said the video only tells one side of the story.
She kept calling me names, and then she took the Frappuccino straw and she kept pointing it at my face. So
At my face.
One day. It's afternoon, summer, that I do Eventi Decaf Soy Sugar-Free Caramel Frappuccino Light, both extra drizzle and easy whip.
Oh my God.
Already getting really upset, but then when I asked her to step to the side, she started getting a couple of other customers riled up. So I had 5 other men cursing me out.
I feel like she's making up her story, this manager.
I didn't hear 5 other men curse her out.
Starbucks customers were upset when they saw this employee rant.
On this video, I can't see the customer doing anything bad.
The customer performed just good.
I think they shouldn't treat any customer like that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have, like, shoddy.
Where the fuck did they... record this.
This is in Vietnam.
Is that in Queens? I didn't understand. There's three people they've interviewed for their opinion.
Yeah.
And they've all not been able to. Okay. It's
Unlike the Starbucks.
That's not.
Do you like that?
I don't think that was.
Starbucks.
That's not.
I like Starbucks.
I like a Starbucks. I like it.
I have not been a Starbucks.
I have a tasty.
For you know.
Good Starbucks for a long time now.
You never. I never hear Asian people talking about Starbucks.
You really don't. You really.
it's just not an Asian topic, you know?
Starbucks? No.
All right, is that going to be all for you?
No.
I would also like to get. You're going to want to write this down, by the way.
Oh, boy.
It's cold.
Definitely.
It's cold, venti, decaf, soy, sugar free caramel frappuccino light, but with extra, extra caramel drizzle all around the cup, on the top and the bottom. Sugar free syrup, please.
Jesus. Well, I understand after hearing Maria talk about fucking Starbucks there in four different clips, I can understand why somebody would flip out as a manager.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the show, but
I think you have.
I've been a barista.
Also on the plane crash, KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Phuc, and Bang Ding Ao.
Sorry, that was outside of Starbucks. Ow. I'm sorry. Oh. So you were a barista at Starbucks. Did you deal with a lot of bullshit?
Summer of 1997, I believe.
How hard? What were the worst customers like?
What really bothered me were people who wanted you to do work that wasn't work for you to do. Mm-hmm. For instance, the people who demanded I put in 1.5 Splenda.
Oh, right.
Or like, what's the half about? Like, yeah. It's bad enough you're making me put the Splenda in there for you. Like, motherfucker, that's what the condiment bar is for behind you. But you want me to do like 1.5 equal? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, figure it out.
That's what bothered me the most. Or people...
They shouldn't have like shoddy at them.
A statement...
Sorry, go ahead. That was more of the Starbucks.
Or people who demanded a certain temperature degree.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were like, I want my latte 170 degrees.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen that.
Oh, my God.
I've seen them come in and be like, oh, let me get that double latte to go and make it 240, if you would.
Yeah, go fuck your 240.
Yeah.
Why don't you enema yourself with this 240 degree latte?
Whoa.
And you have to stick the thermometer in there. It's a real pain in the ass to get it to be perfect. And then when they come back, this isn't 240, and you're like, okay.
Let's hear these ladies talk more about
Go
Starbucks.
Fuck yourself.
Just good. I think they shouldn't treat any customer like that.
Yeah, they should.
I have not the hood in my voice.
Treat any customer like that?
Welcome to VietnamesePod101.com. Barefoot học tiếng Việt, the fastest, easiest, and most fun way to learn Vietnamese.
I took a sip right then. Why'd you do that to me? I took a sip.
Did I get you?
You got almost fucking spit it out on the dog.
Oh, that's great.
That was the best. And Vietnamese is really not that easy to learn.
Not very
easy. She was like, bang, 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 bang.
Babe.
That means my name is Tom.
That's not how that goes. There you go. Now you got it. Yeah, I thought you were. I didn't know you were really saying something, but yeah, you're saying something. That's a real thing you just said. Yep. Here we go. All right. So
I think I can win the fight.
You shouldn't have like shoddy at them.
A statement from Starbucks. The customer's experience is not reflective of service our baristas provide. Mm. The employee was immediately suspended and no longer works for Starbucks. Our leadership team has reached out to the customer to make things right.
Oh,
that
boy.
Now former Starbucks employee had worked here for 5 years. She's 25 and she's now looking for another job.
Damn.
From Elmhurst, Queens, McGee Hickey.
Five years is a long time, man.
McGee Hickey is her name. What kind of stupid name time is that? The thing is like this girl, that's a long time to work somewhere. And she probably had worked her way up.
Yeah, she's managing
the company.
Yeah.
She's probably a student and this job is really important for her. It sucks.
And now she's out of work.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She's got to get another job.
It's not cool. Yeah. I get it, though. Look, the public's the worst.
The public?
Yes.
Just in general?
All of it. Working with the public, that is the hardest. It's the hardest thing. Waiting tables, working at Starbucks, cocktailing. Any service industry, it's impossibly hard. I have mad respect for people. I think the worst is like customer service. Like the people you call when you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
That one I can't even imagine. What kind of patience you have to do that for a living, right?
Yeah, it's pretty.
To be on the receiving end of all that abuse just every day, 8 hours a day. It. God bless them.
Yeah.
I mean.
There's a lot, man.
Oh. Or to work for like fucking Time Warner Cable, to be that person has to take millions of calls about how horrible that service is.
Unreal.
Tamar heard that through my earphones.
She heard it, huh?
Mm.
Well, it's real. It's here. As Christina said earlier, we hope your Cuban jeans are on. This is amazing. This is really, really amazing.
Yeah, it took us a few days just to get over it. Like, it's so ridiculous that this happened.
I didn't think that this would come together this way, honestly. So if you're not caught up on what's going on the show, you know, I should tell you that we came together, Christina and I did, you know, we're creative people. We do this, we do stand up, we write. We also are musicians.
Writers, producers, directors.
Dance choreographers, models.
Skateboarders, you name it.
And we came up with this idea and we've been trying to put it into, you know, existence, into reality now, of the Miami Fart Machine. And the idea is that you take some of the great music of Gloria Estefan and you layer it with a brown flute.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
So
that's really good.
It's one of the first hits there that we came up with.
Yeah.
Anyways, on the show, we played that and we reached out. We played a call we had with, we'll say, someone like Gloria, right?
Should we just come out and say it?
Yeah, of course.
Listen, guys, we duped you.
Yeah,
That time we said that was Gloria Estefan, that was not Gloria Estefan. Instead, that was the extremely talented impressionist Melissa Villaseñor.
Mm-hmm.
You can find her on Twitter at Melissa V.
Here's how good Melissa is. You know, she does like, I don't know, 20 characters.
She does Jaylee.
She has her.
Jaylee.
Oh, Haley Joel Osment. All kinds of people.
She does rant like Bilbo Baggins. Like, she does people nobody does.
And like all impressionists, they have their go-tos. Gloria's not even on hers.
No.
We pitched this to her, and then like 48 hours later, she was doing the call with us, and she was great. And she had a lot of people fooled, actually. A lot of people.
And she was very funny, and she came up with some ridiculous lines that we had no clue she was going to do.
It was unbelievable. So, Melissa's fantastic. We played that call, and then we said in the call that we were waiting to hear back from Gloria.
Yeah.
And a few weeks later, we did a thing where we asked you guys to tweet Gloria about what's going on with the Miami Fart Machine. Is this going to go on tour or not? Dude, within 24 hours, she was tweeting like, what's up with this? What's going on? And since I was tagged in a lot of the tweets, I tweeted her, hey, could you send me a direct message and I'll let you know? And she said, yep. She followed me. I let her know what was going on. And I said, do you want to hear the audio? And she said, yes. So I sent her the audio.
We got Gloria Estefan's email address.
Yeah, that she sent me her email. I said, can I email you more? She said, yes. I emailed her. And then I said, can we set up a call? And she said, yes.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that when Gloria Estefan is cool enough to agree to listen to the abomination that is the Miami Fart Machine, we were like, do we send her the whole call of Melissa impersonating her, like, or just the track of the smash hit song?
Yeah.
So we sent Melissa's impression of her and the song and just crossed our fingers that she would be cool with it. It's not something we do every day.
I don't know if everybody can put this, like, can wrap their head around, but just to kind of give you an idea, of do you understand the caliber of artist we're dealing with here? Right. Just let me read this to you real quick. Estefan is one of the world's best-selling music artists of all time.
Yeah.
With an estimated 100 million records sold worldwide, including 31.5 million sold in the U.S. alone. She is the most successful crossover act to date, because she had all her success in Spanish and then flipped it to English and became even more successful.
So crazy.
Yeah, she's on the list of, like, greatest artists of all time. She's also a super savvy businesswoman, like, really, really on top of it. So it's really crazy. She is wildly, wildly successful. And this would be, you know, the equivalent of farting on, you know, like a Whitney Houston song, yeah. Rest in Peace, and her being like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's just
unreal.
Amazing that she would entertain this. So, well, anyways.
Yeah, I just can't believe she was down to even
To read the message.
To even be a part of this lunacy.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have a little fun, get some tweets, maybe get one tweet. But I was happy when we saw the, like, what's up with this?
Yeah.
I saved it. I retweeted
it's
it.
Crazy.
I thought it was great.
It's absolutely crazy.
This happened.
Hello.
Whoa. Oh, Reina Gloria.
What's going on? This is Tom and Christine, I gather.
Yes, it is. Correct. Thank you so much for your call.
Well, you're very welcome. It's just that, you know, the other day, first of all, you got some hardcore fanage going on out there.
Yeah, they're pretty
And
great.
They made me aware of a fabulous podcast that I immediately went to listen to, which is your podcast, Mom's House.
That's right, your mom's house. Correct, yes.
Right. So I listened in because they said that there was something about my song and that it was going to be great and all this incredible. And then, to my wonderment and surprise, I hear myself, supposedly, or someone impersonating me, rather, on your show.
What?
What?
You mean that,
yes,
that wasn't you?
No. Did that sound like me to you?
I thought it was pretty close.
Wait,
I
guess. So you're saying you didn't write the conga while you were taking a bath?
No, I did not. The conga was actually written in Utrecht, Holland, when we were promoting our first song that went to number one in Europe called Dr. Beat, way back in 1984. And we were in this little club in the middle of nowhere, and Emilio had brought his accordion. Emilio's my husband, in case you don't know, and his manager, and, you know, like, I joined his band, the Miami Latin Boys, in 1975, believe it or not.
What?
And, yeah, baby. And so we're there, and we're performing, and we ran out of material, and they were saying, we want more, in their Dutch way. And so Emilio whipped out his accordion and said, let's do these old Cuban congas that we used to play at our gig days in the weddings and bar mitzvahs and whatnot. And I said, well, that's crazy. These people don't speak Spanish. And he said, well, so what? They don't speak English either. So who cares? And I go, true.
Yeah.
Very true. So we sang these legit old Cuban congas. And then when we were standing back, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, waiting to get picked up to go back to the hotel, I said to my drummer, you know, we should write a song that talks about this rhythm and do it in English so people could understand where it is this thing comes from. And he wrote it on the tray table of the plane flying from Holland to England.
You got to be kidding me. Can I?
So I was very surprised to hear that it was in the shower that I wrote that.
Now, can I ask you, when you guys, like, you write that, like, on the tray table, the first time you, like, run through it, do you have any idea, like, do you feel this is a great one, this is a hit? Do you know that immediately?
I feel it. I mean, I always feel it. The ballads, I call my sister and sing them to her to see if it'll pass the cry test.
Uh-huh.
Because if she starts bawling, then I know I have a good hit on my hands. Uh-huh. But usually there's a feeling that something is going on. And hopefully, you know, it turns out to be right. But yeah, you kind of feel it. And I heard that you have some kind of rendition.
Yeah, I mean, well, I sent over a version I think you heard. It's your song, but I guess you could say it's with a twist, right? Like, did you hear that version?
I listened to it. Is that the brown flute you said you were playing?
Yes. Yeah, that was the brown flute. I learned it in Ollantaytambo in Peru, and I studied for years there. And then, yeah, I got better at it, as you could see.
Wow, you studied for years to do that?
Many years.
But what did you think of his technique, Gloria?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. I mean, how does he prepare? Does he eat massive quantities of beans or something of this nature?
I do. I do carbonated drinks. I do beans, sometimes a beer or two, and then it gets the instrument ready, and then it's just, you know, go for it. I just go for it.
Now, is there an actual instrument involved that you attach somewhere, or is this just you?
This is just me. This is my equivalent of, you know, like you, it'd be like you saying, you know, I just got my pipes. I walk up to the mic and I sing. I do pretty much the same thing.
And do you use a very short mic stand when you're performing in the city?
Yeah, it's pretty short. Oh, yeah, it is pretty short. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I've been in your beautiful country in Peru, and of all the incredible flute playing I heard, that was not one of them.
Oh! And what's your take on this? I mean, I feel like, I know, first of all, not only are you're an amazing artist and musician, but you're a brilliant businesswoman. Do you see potential for the Miami Fart Machine to go around the world and just basically pick up some cash?
Well, you know, I hate to burst your bubble, but the Miami Fart Machine exists already. It's my band after the catering fed them beans. And that rendition has already been performed in stages across the world. And only I was privy. Of course, the audience never caught wind of it, if you know what I mean.
I get it.
But
yeah.
I certainly suffered through the entire performance, especially when I got close to the horn players.
Have you walked into fart clouds in shows? That happens, right?
That have I what?
Like walked into somebody, like you're on stage, you're in the middle of a song, and then you basically walk into somebody's fart. Like into their phone.
Of course. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, okay.
I practically banned. I banned cauliflower, broccoli, beans. I banned all that from catering because I like to wander around the stage when I'm performing, you know, just touch base with my band. And I got to tell you that, yes, that had happened to me on many, many occasions. Oh,
so you're saying we're late to the party then?
Yeah, we're just, you know.
Oh, my gosh. You're a little late. Although, I must say that if I were just, you know, just imagining that you were to come and perform that on the road with me, mm-hmm. I would imagine because, you know, we are artists. We demand a certain level of authenticity.
Right.
We would demand that you play that live, you know, because I have a feeling that when you recorded that, you used Pro Tools or something. Because
what?
I can't believe you're calling me out on that. That's really something.
Well, it's got to be because you didn't even have time to reload. It's like every other note is being, that's just physically impossible as far as I can see.
Well, you haven't seen me perform. Let's just say that. I would love to get the opportunity to show you sometime.
Well, Christina, I, you know, my condolences to you.
I know.
Because I can just imagine him practicing for a performance.
Oh, yeah. It's a story of my life.
At home.
Yeah. All the time.
Now, Gloria, real quick, two things. One is that we shoot our pilot next week for our TV show. If we get picked up to series, can we do an episode about the Miami Fart Machine with you?
It's fine with me.
Yes.
I grew up around musicians, and I had a teenage son at one point. He's older now. But that is a very, very clear experience in my life with the boys in the band and my kids. So,
And then
most definitely, it would be my pleasure.
Secondly, I wanted to ask, first, I mean, I want to thank you profusely for your time and for responding. You're the coolest. I never would have imagined.
This was so unexpected. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's so cool. But what do you have? Because we exchanged an email, a Broadway show premiering, because I've seen other stuff about it. Tell us about that.
I'm actually, we just landed in Chicago right now. On June 2nd, it opens here, the previews, and it's called On Your Feet, and it's very autobiographical.
Oh, cool.
And I'm sure that if you come and sit in the pit, you will experience, you know, what you have done with your Miami Fart Machine quite a bit. But, we're super psyched. It's going to be, it debuts on Broadway and previews on October 5th, and November 5th is the official opening on Broadway at the Marquee Theater, and oh my God, we're beside ourselves. We're super happy, and
that's so cool.
We're super excited. So thank you for allowing me to talk about that too.
Oh, please,
despite the fact that definitely your song is a big hit from what I see. All your fans, talking.
I want to know Emilio's thoughts. If you don't mind, at some point, please share the song with him.
Oh, you want to know the Emilio Sosa? I'm going to put him on right now. He has some questions about copyright issues. Okay. Hold on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Emilio. How are you?
How are you? I just want to check what key do you sing the song?
Well, you know, I try to stay.
You have to listen. You have to be able to tune your thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on it, man. You know I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it.
I want to be sure, just in case for copyright, in case you want to use it in a documentary or something.
Absolutely.
I want to know the key.
Yeah, I think it's G, but I'm not really sure. I'm going to work on it. You know what I think is best? I'm going to Florida in November. I'll just swing by the offices, and we'll work it out there.
Please do. Come say hello and listen. Thank you so much. I mean, Gloria, we've been having a lot of fun. All you fans love you very much, as you want. And your wife, and you know, and we're big fans. And thank you for doing this. This is great.
I
want to be sure that I learned how to play in the piano the part, so that I know the key. So that would you call me back and tell me the key?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. And by the way, we really enjoyed you on that that great hotel show. You were featured in that Miami episode, and it was awesome. You were fantastic in it.
That's great, man. Thank you so much. Hold on. I want to thank for Gloria, but I just want to give you a big hug to you and Christina and the North. All the best to you. Good luck on the show.
Mucha gracias. Yes. Okay.
Hey, do you guys have kids yet?
No.
Just dogs.
Just dogs. We just got another
puppy.
Get
ready.
Yeah.
They're going to upstage you on that, on your little talent there.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, we'll try to teach them a few things before they teach us.
And I hope you wash your underwear thoroughly after your performance, because I would not want Christine to have to deal with that.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
Gloria, thank you so much for your time with this. I'm having a lawyer draft up some paperwork just for clearance stuff, and then I'll kind of map out the tour, and then I'll make sure.
Okay.
And then, by the way, how are we going to split the gate? That's one thing we haven't talked about yet. Are we going to do like a 60-40 split? Like, how will that work?
I'll have to talk to the other writer, you know, Kiki Garcia. I'm sure he's going to have something to say about it. Although he was one of the big culprits in being, you know, the first to do what you did. Uh-huh. But it's right up our alley. Let's see, you know, times are tough. We can't be giving away any little slice of anything that we can get.
That's
so
true.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk.
It's wonderful. Okay.
We'll talk.
Thank you,
the song is actually done. I know you've added your creative vision, but in essence, if you know what I mean, it's kind of done. So we'll see. We'll talk about
I feel like it's a remix, but it's pretty noteworthy of a remix. You know what I mean?
a remix. It's more like a refried mix.
Very true.
Let's see what you'll get for that.
Okay. All right. We'll work it out. You're the best. Right. You're the best, Gloria. Thank you so much.
Hey,
so
hugs to both of you. And congrats on your pilot.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you, Gloria.
All right. Take care.
Right. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to see who did me. Who did me? Who was she?
Oh, Melissa Villaseñor. I'm going to have her send you an email or a tweet, if that's all right. And then...
Okay. Well, my lawyers will be drawing up the paper. To send to her.
Okay.
For right. violating my persona here.
Did you like her impression? She hadn't done it before. She tried it like the day before. She tried, you know.
Well, you know, it was okay, but man, she was a little bit too laid back there, you know. you gotta go for the throat. Someone's copping your stuff.
All right. I'll let her know. I'll let her know for sure.
Tell her to get ready.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Take
thanks.
Care.
Bye, Gloria.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I mean, are you...
I still can't get over it. I can't get over it. How cool are Gloria and Emilio Estefan?
Which doesn't get any better.
They were so cool about this.
You know what the real lesson is here?
Oh, my gosh.
Two things.
Yeah.
One... This show does have the best fans.
Absolutely.
When you guys, we've done this kind of stuff. You know, you guys got us Brace.
Yep.
When we wanted Brace a couple years ago, you guys got Brace to respond.
Fuck off. Get the fuck out and don't come back.
You guys went after him. We had Brace on during the first season of Gigolos. This is before he did any press.
Yeah.
We've done it with other people, but you guys, listeners, thank you for making that happen. The other thing, there's just no words to describe how cool Gloria and Emilio Estefan are.
Dude, how funny was she?
They're like, so great.
How amazing was that they had the best sense of humor about it?
I'll tell you this, too.
Oh, my God.
This is a definite bias, but I really feel like it's because they're cool Latino people.
I think so, too. I actually
Latins
thought that.
Are like... I mean, I have super bias on it, but they are fun people, man.
Why so fun? What is it?
Because I don't know. There's just a certain like they find joy in life. They're just you know they thought it was funny. They thought it was silly. They like you know this is they don't need a call into our podcast, but like they
she did not
they thought
to.
It was a good time. They're
she
just
goes,
cool people.
It's a refried remix. Hilarious!
So funny.
I can't believe it.
And she,
I still can't believe it.
She said, we're going to talk about chopping up the gate and we're going to just consult with other people. And then how about the story of how
Jesus.
Congo was really written on a fucking plane?
Crazy.
Tray.
Crazy.
Insane.
I mean, I was a kid. We were both children when that song came out.
Yeah.
But I think if you were alive and that song came out, there was no escaping that song.
No.
It was tremendous. And she had so many other hits, too. I mean,
oh, yeah, man.
Jesus Christ. Talk about a career.
No, the career is crazy. What is that? I'm trying to think of that other. Get On Your Feet?
Yeah. And that's the name of her Broadway specials, On Your Feet. So if you're in the Chicago neighborhood.
That's for the preview.
Oh, the preview.
The Broadway preview is going to run next month in June.
Okay, in Chicago.
In Chicago. And then they go to Broadway in October.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Oh, and the other big one,
Rhythm is gonna get you.
Yeah.
We were finding a way. Remember? We were looking at that song to try to put farts on that.
Yeah, well, I think that's next.
Rhythm is gonna get you.
I think so.
Tonight. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's a pretty
good. Away, away.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And then
good.
She sings that song. Anything for you, but you're not here. Did I sound just like her?
That sounded really good. That was really good.
And they have that hotel in Miami too, right?
Yeah. Well, they own. She has all kinds of business holdings, man. Like
smart.
She's on top of it. She's a smart lady, man.
Smart lady. Those Cubans, I'm telling you. Ricky Ricardo too. Smart Cuban.
Here
innovator.
We go. Ready?
I'm ready.
They own several Cuban themed restaurants, Bongo's Cuban Cafe, Ladio's on the Beach. They're located in Miami Beach, downtown Miami. Also, I believe at the Seminole Hardcock
Hotel
and Casino. They're in Walt Disney World, blah, blah, blah. Miami Interstate. They own two hotels.
Crazy.
One in Miami Beach, one in Vero Beach. Let's see. Estefan was appointed board of directors of Univision Communications. Oh, my Lord. Are you ready for this next sentence? Mm. The Estefan's estimated net worth as of 2011 was approximately $700 million.
Love it.
In 2009, her and her husband became the first Hispanics to buy an ownership stake in the NFL team, the Miami Dolphins. So they're also
Jesus. Yeah. And they're a husband and wife duo like
they
us.
They are. They're like, they wear their jeans.
Two mommies, one jeans.
That's what they do.
The yep. Estefan jeans.
The Estefan jeans. Yep. Yeah, they're awesome.
But
so.
I like that. I like their story, man. They're immigrants. And yeah, they
that's why they have a Broadway show. It's going to be this story about them together.
So cool, man. That was the coolest thing that's ever happened on the show, I think.
Yeah, it is.
One of the most unexpected, cool things. Because, you know, you never know with a star as big as her if she's going to be cool.
Yeah.
You know, you think Garth Brooks is going to take our call of the Miami Fart Machine?
I mean,
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think Garth would do that. Garth isn't like, he's not down with us the way that other people are, you know?
Guys, tweet Gloria and tell her thank you for coming on our show,
yeah,
please.
Please do.
Please thank her and tell her how cool she was for doing it. Because that was really special. She did not have to do that.
I like that.
Yeah.
She's a big star. She doesn't need to mess with us, but she did. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. One of the coolest moments on the show by far.
It looks like they also have a rum.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
She's got two kids. I think she said she had a teenage son. I thought she said she had two.
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I don't see it, but yeah. Yep. It's pretty crazy. Excuse me.
Tuckered out like the puppy.
It's been a long day.
That was exciting, and then now you're tuckered out.
Yeah, it wore me out, right?
I know.
Day.
There's a lot of excitement going on in this house. Gloria Estefan and the puppy. And
tomorrow I go get my hair did for our pilot, so we have fresh hair.
I'm excited for that.
Because we can finally say we're shooting our pilot next week.
Yeah, based on your mom's house.
That's it. So I get my hair did tomorrow, and then when I get back, I have a little bit of time, and then I go work out to go get nice and strong.
Yeah.
And then I have a show tomorrow night, and then, yeah, fart around.
What do you do for your workout? Does he have you get into a river, and then you hunt the wild salmon out of the river with your teeth? And then does he have you do things like scratch on trees,
mm-hmm,
dig through garbage, and then he goes, dig through that garbage, bear! What about when you get the honeycomb and it's got tons of bees, and then he's like, just bite into a bear. Let those bees sting you. Let those bees sting you.
I'm not a bear. It's rude. This came into the show a lot.
Yeah.
Speaking of farts, this is a 7-tone fart symphony.
I loved this. Let me tell you, this came in and I watched this video and it tickled me. It tickled me so thoroughly.
Now, there's the part of the brilliance of this is that there's copy that comes up at certain points throughout the video.
Right.
So I'll read the copy.
Sure.
As the person who made this video intended. Okay.
Here you go.
It says, "The greatest fart I ever did." And it says, now at this point it says,
I love the laugh after, yeah, always.
It says, "What's so special about that? Listen again." Now it says, "Let's slow that down." That is a major 7th arpeggio in the key of B flat with a trill at the end. Then it shows you the notes. Here it is played by a flute. And again by my butt. Then I pulled this composition out. It is my magnum anus. My rectum opus.
Where was this guy when we recorded Miami Fart Machine?
Yeah, he could have really helped us. This is what we're going to post on the site.
So good. Yeah.
Did you post this?
Yeah.
Your mom's house podcast.com, the clips page. We'll get that up there.
Really neat work. Thank you, sir.
So unbelievable.
Ah, the world is a magical place, Tom. You never know what's going to happen. Never know.
It is amazing.
You could hear a fart that has a song to it. You could talk to Gloria Estefan on our show.
About farts.
About farts of all horrible things.
Yep.
man, that is good stuff. That is life.
It is. It is, man.
Meow, meow, meow.
Time to be honest, Jeans.
About?
Truth is, I feel like I haven't gone in a while now.
What do you mean?
I need to get my foofies checked.
Okay. Well, how long has it been?
Well, I guess for some reason, I've been real, like, in my mind waiting for them, because they've set up appointments before for us.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh, they'll call me for that next cleaning. But I feel like it's definitely been over 6 months now.
Well, here's what I do. When I get my cleaning done, I make the appointment 6 months from then.
I feel like I did that, but I haven't heard.
Because I remember asking.
Really?
We just got a call, Jeans. Because I had to switch mine around. Because it was going to be next week and we can't because we're shooting.
Well, I need to do it. And I'm putting it out there so that I'm held accountable.
Yeah, you should do it, man.
As much as we talk about it on our show, to go without it now?
Can I tell you what's really alarming to me is I have to replace a crown, and I really don't want to do that because that's like $1,500. It's going to be fucking annoying. You know what I mean? I'm not in the mood for it, but I got to do it. Otherwise, it's going to be another root canal.
Well, listen, we also got this email from a dental update. Hey, guys. I've been listening to your podcast about 6 months, and in that time, my dental hygiene game has gone from average to beyond fleek. I used to just brush in the mornings and before bed. I use mouthwash every morning and floss semi-weekly, and of course, I'd see my dentist every 6 months. That's all in the past. Nowadays, I brush damn near every time I pass the bathroom.
All right.
With a brush time, it's gone from a few seconds to a few minutes. I keep mouthwash in my car, and I floss daily. Next month, when I see my dentist, I'm asking him which high end electronic toothbrush he recommends. Why the drastic change, you might ask? Well, it's because you dicks have made me paranoid about dad mouth. I'm 34 and have a 4-year-old son. You guys have made me hyper aware of my potential for shit mouth whenever I'm close to him. It's especially bad during bedtime stories. If scent really is the strongest sense tied to memory, then the last thing I want is for him to grow up, get stuck in traffic behind a garbage truck in July, and has a flashback of me reading him Goodnight Moon.
Aww.
So thanks for helping me become a better parent. Love you, mommies. Joe. P.S. Dear Mommy Tina, while I think Wipegate was blown way out of proportion, your stance on peanut butter is fucking barbaric. Okay. Shaky cheese all the way, though.
Well, well, well.
So,
all right.
Answer to that shit.
So amazing. I'm so glad we're helping one dad at a time.
One
dad mouth at a time. Can dad mouth happen in your 30s, though? I feel like...
As soon as you're a parent, it can happen. Dad mouth is completely possible.
It's the moment that your wife pops the baby out of her vagine and...
The moment you're...
Your breath just gets rank.
Yep. The moment you're a parent, your mouth just starts to disintegrate.
Sewer. It just turns into dad sewer.
Yeah, you might as well start pissing in your mouth.
See, I was under the impression that dad mouth started later, but now that I think back on my years with my dad, I feel like dad mouth has just always been there. Dumps. We need to come dad dumps.
Dad
too.
Dumps are way different than regular people dumps.
Right.
Yeah.
Why are dad dumps so bad?
Because they're dudes and they eat trash and they've been on Earth longer. That's why. You know, when you first smell your dad's shit, your dad is probably 30 years old. His rotting body is just, it's falling apart. And he drinks beer and eats steaks.
Yeah, that's my dad. Yeah, that was my dad.
It's like a fucking garbage truck. That's what your dad is.
I know what it is. So it's the festering intestines of dad dumps, and the stink works its way up into his esophagus into dad mouth.
And it's 30 years longer than you've been. Like, that's the thing. Like, have you ever gone someplace that's been abandoned for years?
Yeah.
It's run down.
It's dumpster.
That's your dad's body. Instead of run down fucking trash compost.
I picture my dad's body. Yeah, like a...
Your dad's inside.
Like a garbage dump.
He just eats kolbas and he drinks...
Oh, it's... No, it's sausage fresca and beer for the last 68 years of his life.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm
imagine what those intestines look like.
And head cheese. Head cheese, sausage, fresca, beer. Dude. And horseradish.
He's an absolute savage.
He's an animal. I don't know how he's still kicking. Thank God he is. Knock on, you know, geez. Yeah, but I remember, man, my dad used to drink a lot more beer back in the day. And he gets up, my poor father, you know, he works as a forklift. He had a forklift business his whole life. And he would wake up at the crack of dawn, like 6 a.m., and just take that beer dump. And I remember, like, that smell just wafts from under the bathroom door. It would waft, like, down the hall into, like, my room. And, like, oh, my dad's taking a shit this morning. Like, his dumps would wake me up.
My dad's dumps are un-fucking-real.
Of course. The whole world knows about them.
Yeah, his dumps.
What do they smell like?
I remember smelling, like... I remember walking into a bathroom after my dad shit when I was a kid and just being like, that smells unlike anything I've ever smelled. Yeah. It didn't smell like my shit. It didn't smell like my siblings.
No.
It didn't smell like my mother's.
It's dad dumps.
It was so much more intense.
Yeah.
And it was so much more rotten and powerful. I mean, they really, really stunk, man.
And I think, too, because our dads are from that generation that doesn't drink water.
Yep.
And doesn't believe in consuming vegetables of any kind.
It really smelled like a dead animal and it smelled like poison. It smelled like rotting poison. Yeah.
The napalm shit.
Oh my God. It burned. And I was like, oh, it smelled unhealthy. That's the best way to describe it. It smelled like something is wrong. Every shit of my dad smells like something's wrong.
Dad dumps.
Hey, you're a philosopher. What do you think of this right here? Tell us what your thought on this.
Sure.
Is.
Thoughts by Dwayne Thomas.
It was only the need to know to me. You know, if I don't need to, if you don't have anything to do with what I'm doing, there's no need in me actually knowing. So when it came up to someone asking me whether I knew something or not, I said, well, I don't know that. As opposed to, well, let me see. Well, let me think. Let me give you my opinion. You didn't ask for my opinion. You asked me whether I actually knew something or not. So I was practicing on being as precise as possible and answering exactly what you asked me as opposed to coming in with something else that you're not asking me.
You understand?
Nope.
Well, that was given to me. That was given to me on a flash. By the way, that's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
When someone's like, I got a great clip for you. This guy gave me flash drive.
Can I play this on That's Deep, bro?
You absolutely can.
That's amazing.
He gave us a note, too. Hey, mommies, I've been trying for the last year to get this clip to you. Hmm. I searched on the internet, couldn't find it anywhere. It's from an old NFL bloopers DVD that went missing amongst a group of my friends. I got it back. I ripped it, put it on this. What, you are one of the few people that hold the copies of this exact clip. I feel like it speaks for itself. I've watched it 100 times. Can't figure out what the fuck he's saying. You know what I'm saying? Even more so, what was the question? Hope you mommies enjoy. Looking forward to your set. Oh, he came to a Denver show. And he's looking forward to seeing you, he says, in June. Peace, love, and farts. Ben Milo. Or Milhow? M-E-A-L-H-O-W? Milho?
Milo. Milo. Thanks for that, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. I'll tell you what I think's going on?
Sure. I think I kind of know.
I think what's going on here is what he's trying to say is that he only... Because I can... when you put it in football terms, it starts to make more sense to me.
Oh.
He only knows and cares about what his assignment is on each play. So in other words, let's say he's a defensive back and they go, well, on this coverage, when they're doing this, do you know what that guy's supposed to do? And he's like, no, because I only focus on what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm supposed to cover the guy that comes over the flat, or if there's nobody there, then I drop back into double coverage with this guy. If you're asking me what anybody else, if they don't, if it doesn't pertain to my assignment, then my answer is I don't know, because I'm not gonna put extra information in there if it doesn't affect me.
Now, I didn't understand a lot of what you just said in terms of football things.
Right.
But I think the essence of what you're saying is he's going to admit to what he does not know, and what he does not know is what he does not know, rather than assume knowledge.
By Dwayne Thomas.
It was only the need to know to me. You know, if I don't need to... If you don't have anything to do with what I'm doing, there's no need in me actually knowing. So when it came up to someone asking me whether I knew something or not, I said, well, I don't know that. As opposed to, well, let me see. Well, let me think. Let me give you my opinion. You didn't ask for my opinion. You asked me whether I actually knew something or not. So I was practicing on being as precise as possible and answering exactly what you asked me, as opposed to coming in with something else that you're not asking me.
Yeah, I think it's the admittance of what you don't know. It's as simple as saying, I don't know the answer, as opposed to, well, let me fucking try to bend my brain around it.
Right, and say something for the sake of speaking. Mm-hmm. But he's also, it's a good thing, it's a thing about...
It's actually kind of makes sense.
It's also, I'm not going to allow other information that doesn't affect my job...
To get in the way of that and cloud my thinking.
Exactly.
I like that. I want to hear more what that guy has to say.
This is
like,
Dwayne Thomas.
Dwayne, I like you.
Dwayne Thomas. All right, Jeans.
Now, can I add one more thing to our dad dumps and dad mouth?
Of course.
What about mom sloppers?
Mom sloppers. Yeah, those tits don't really start to hang until you become a mom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's big tits out there, but nothing like mom slops.
Mom sloppers are a whole new level of slops.
Yep.
Because after you breastfeed, I'm assuming is when they start to hang.
Yeah.
They look like grapefruits.
Tell us about your mom's sloppers if you're listening.
Holy. Oh, I thought you meant. Yeah. My mom has the biggest sloppers. Yeah. She's just, since I've known her, they've always been big and hangy, like Nat Geo titties, you know?
Yeah.
And huge, just double D's her whole life.
Yeah, my mom's got big fucking tits.
Yeah.
Yeah, real big tits.
But have you seen them braless? Have you ever seen them unleashed?
I've seen them unleashed, but covered. In other words, like in pajamas.
Sure.
Where you see them like kind of hanging around the waistline, that kind of thing. But I've never seen like, you know. Like,
mom not slops.
Not nude, no.
I will say my mom, all things considered.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? I'm so tired. She used to wear just a tube top and a skirt around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And for a woman in her 40s, her slops hang pretty high. They hung pretty high at the
time.
Yep. She had a nice rack on her despite breastfeeding me. But, you know, now I don't know.
I mean.
They're jigglers.
If you had like, you know, some real mom slops on you, would you get them lifted?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so against plastic surgery.
You're against it?
Well, just personally, not for other people. Like, if you really feel badly by yourself, change it, of course. But I don't know. We'll have to cross that bridge, you know, if they're really fucked up.
Not fucked up, but let's say they rest like just below your waist, you know?
I'm not Depends how old I am. Like, if they did that now, then I'd be like, yeah, I should probably, I need help.
Yeah.
I would lift them, but I wouldn't add any meat.
No, what I would have them, out of your mind?
Yeah, I would have them deflate the meat, actually, if they could. There's so much meat.
I'd have them deflate our marriage if you deflated the meat. Get out of here.
And they're so big. God.
To go out, I mean, we played it a few weeks ago. We might have even played it last week. We gave a sample today, but do you think because Gloria was on this episode, we should go out on the Miami Fart Machine?
I would love that.
Yeah, I feel like I should.
I still can't believe she came on.
We played it before, but I mean, look, this Gloria Stefan was on this episode, so there's no way around it.
No, special.
Jeans, thank you guys for helping us make that happen, and a huge thank you to Gloria and Emilio Estefan for making time for your mom's house.
And Melissa Villaseñor.
Oh my God, Melissa Villaseñor is amazing.
At Melissa V Comedy. Guys, check her out. Send Melissa a tweet and tell her how much you loved her impression as well, because she really did a killer job.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. Amazing talent. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. We probably won't have a multi-platinum award-selling, Grammy-winning artist.
Probably not.
We'll have fun next week, too. So thanks for listening, Jeans.
Love you, mommies.
Love you. Bye, Jeans.
shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
I was a wet one.